This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I want to start off the show by saying thank you to Tanya and Paul Hannah providing the show with a ticket for the Jazz in the Gardens event on Friday, and I'm hoping that the winner of the ticket enjoyed the weekend. There's something about music that soothes the soul, and we need to be open to that and give ourselves as many opportunities as possible to heal ourselves through music, art, and culture. And we know that there's always a need for healing in some aspect of our lives, in some part of our community, in parts of our country. People are constantly living and dealing with grief and loss. And so I want to share with you guys an opportunity, an event happening this evening. It is an open house and a presentation on grief and loss with Reg Eldon. And it is an informational sort of session to make people aware of some grief and loss counseling sessions that will be offered by Mr. Reg Eldon and will begin in January 2023. So it's an open house and a presentation on grief and loss with Reg Eldon. It will be hosted this evening, 6 to 7:30 p.m. That's 6 to 7:30 p.m. in the conference room of the Cancer Society of the Bahamas, and that's on Third Terrace East, the eastern side of Third Terrace. That's on the top of Collins Avenue. And you go to the eastern side where ZNS is, and it is just below ZNS compound on Third Terrace East. You can contact Reg Eldon for more information at regeldon@gmail.com. That's Reg, R-E-G-E-L-D-O-N at gmail.com. R-E-G-E-L-D-O-N at gmail.com. Telephone contacts are 427-5457. That's 427-5457, 393-6729. That's 393-6729. Lots of people are dealing with grief and loss. Lots of people, death is a constant fixture in the human experience, and we should be constantly reconciling with death as a part of life. And our society, I don't think, does a very good job of it at all. We do not understand or take the time to honor the dead, to honor our loved ones who have passed. And so I think this would be a great session. I mean, also today, I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about, a couple of things, but I want to talk about Hurricane Nicole, and I want to talk about FTX. And so before we begin talking, I thought the session on grief and loss would be great for lots of people. While we talk about FTX this morning, like when I was preparing my notes, I had plenty of jokes I wanted to crack, and I had to moderate myself because there are people in this situation, people we know and people we don't know, who are dealing with grief, right, at the collapse of FTX, right, because it may represent the loss of money, resources, and assets. It may represent the loss of a vision, a dream, a future planned. It can represent loss in many ways for many people, and I don't want us to make fun of those people. I want us, even when we crack and joke or it's a little political satire, we remember that these things do impact real people, even though, right, like digital currencies, a bunch of ones and zeros, right, in on the internet. That's all it is. Ones and zeros. That's all it is. But these things impact the lives of real people. So to join the conversation this morning, you could call in at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or you could text the text line. You could text the show on 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That is powered by BTC, and standard text rates apply. Remember, you can watch us on Guardian Radio, Guardian Talk, Guardian Radio. Don't watch nothing. I need to get on with the show. I got lots to talk about today, and I want to get to it. I was very late getting into the studio this morning. There was a massive traffic backup on the Eastern Road and the accessway Johnson Road onto the Eastern Road was backed up all the way past the Jehovah Witness Church. And when I say backed up, I mean barely moving. At a crawl, are you right? At a crawl, barely moving at all. And so I just wanted to ask some questions. Maybe you could text or call in and let me know if you took that route. Was there an accident that caused that big jam up? Were there multiple accidents? I noticed that we've been having multiple car accidents, 3-car pileups, 4-car pileups. Those have increased on the roads of New Providence. Is this due to extended road works? Were there not sufficient detour signs put out for road users? You know, if there was an expansion of the road works, were announcements made on public radio, via social media, on television? Did any of these things happen? And how do you expect the country to function without these very basic elements of the service that you're supposed to be providing? Whose job is it to do these things? Is it the company responsible for the roadworks, or is it the Ministry of Public Works? We need to know. Bahamian people can no longer lose. We are the ones who are losing in this equation. Time, energy, all of it is maddening. Anyway, let's go to this call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
A pleasant good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning, Sparky. How you do?
Don't get mad at me before you know what I'm coming at you with. But I just want to say good morning to our beautiful Commonwealth of the Bahama Islands. And I think your problem up there in the east is simply this. Before I tell you what I really called for, it's called a ridge down the middle of New Providence, the north side, I should say. Now, what happens is the poor people live on the south side. And the elite people live on the north side.
Uh-huh.
And then you got all the poor people from the east mixing with the elite people from the east coming through one road called Johnson Road.
Mm-hmm.
So when you all come off the two road, which you had, and jump onto one road, you call all of you to come down at the same time together.
Thank you.
The same time to get to the same places.
There's something more than that today, though, Spotty.
And then they dig up a village road. Look like it could end up being beautiful when they finish, but it could take a while. Look like that's a big dig.
I heard that the Minister of Public Works said that they're looking at a December completion date, and I really want the Minister of Works to just put a 2023 on that, because there's no way,
way
that's
going to
be completed for December 2023.
I can't see that being December unless they go wait 24 hours, day, night, and all of these.
No, they send back the night lights. They don't,
okay,
they
so
don't
that's
like
what I really
night.
Wanted to call for. I heard about the grief and the people losing their money and all that kind of thing, and people losing their lives and families and all of that kind of, I call it the black stuff. But my mother told me when I was small, when something looked too good to be true, majority of the time, 99% of the time,
it is
true. You know, when somebody could tell you, give me $5,000 this month, and by next month, you have $20,000, watch out. Something ain't right. That money don't grow that quick. But anyway, what I really call was the good stuff. There's a young lady, she ain't young no more. Her name is Deidre Cooper Hicks. She is the daughter of none other than Winston Gus Cooper of the Valley Boys. God bless the dead.
Yes, sir.
She resides down in Houston, Texas.
Okay.
This week she brought down her husband and 14 friends of hers from all over America down in Houston to spend a week down here at Atlantis Hotel. In the middle of all of that, one of the people in the party had a birthday party when they had Saturday evening.
Sparky, hold on. You ain't talking to people business, eh? Because they invite me to the party.
No. I just want to say to our Bahamian gal who lives in Houston, thank you for bringing out all them people that, man, them people had some fun. They live in the Atlantis.
Yeah.
But they had the party on Madera Street somewhere up at one place.
Okay.
And them people that like all the conch.
Yeah.
And the conch frickets them.
Yeah.
I had a big problem, though.
Because you didn't invite me.
Well, I did. I found out at the last. She was like my baby sister.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I found out at the last minute. But my biggest problem is.
Quick. I got another caller.
The Guinness bottles that I had, apparently they was leaking. You got to tell the brewery.
Listen.
Make sure, fix them holes in the Guinness, because all I was doing is ordering.
Watch, I have to cut you. Sparky, watch, I have to cut you, man. Listen. You know I was going to talk about the scamful nature of the Bahamas. No, that's not how I was going to word it, though. Let me go to this next caller, and then I got some more questions for the audience. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, Aaron. How you doing?
Listen, now that I heard that beer bottles could possibly be leaking, I have a problem.
Well, let Sparky know, I look for the 1%, not the 99%.
Hold on, wait. You look for them or you look out for them? Because I could tell you where the 1% is right now.
No, he said 99% ain't real. 1% is real. If you give them 5,000, they'll give you 25,000. In a few months. I look for the 1% that could do that. See, if the web shop man come to me, I wouldn't call names and say, hey, come a 5,000. I can give you 25 for Christmas.
But Graham,
I can beg and borrow for
Graham,
that 5,000.
I would offer this analysis.
Yeah.
It's not that it's only the 1% that will be success, right? That will work for you.
Yeah.
It's that you got to get in at the 1%. All of these financial mechanisms work, you know. The question is, who are they working for? And when do they work? They're only going to work for the top 1%. You got to be in the top 1% to be able to benefit from these, what I'm going to call, financial mechanisms.
Well, you know, I feel like Noah. Wayne Johnson and myself sat with Lester R. Cox right there in the studio in 2016. And we recommended that the Bahamas do its own exchange. We don't need a foreigner. And that we power this exchange, because, you know, crypto has used plenty electricity. We powered by our biggest natural resource, the sun. You see where I'm going with this now?
But I have to cut you. What do you mean? Let me go and hit this. Who owned the rights to the sun in the Bahamas? The boy already been in the newspaper for months telling us, as far as he's concerned, he owned the rights to the sun in the Bahamas. What do you mean? We can't power that. In fact, I got another caller, Graham.
No, but can you see a Bahamas where you get you have to pay a fee to put a solar panel on your roof to use the sun? Now, I want to wrap up with this. That Eastern Road thing, y'all got a little traffic hate, because I've been telling you to get on scooter a long time, but ain't nobody want to listen to $2 a week.
Please cut, Graham. Please cut, Graham. So, Graham, here's why I cut you. First of all, what you be doing in your scooter is actually illegal. All of these people, but I have scooter and I don't have to deal with traffic. Like, technically, that's illegal. Like, even if you're on your scooter, you have to stay within your lane. You cannot make a third lane. You can't be cutting off cars because you can no longer move in your third lane. That's a part of the reason why I cut you off. The second part of the reason why I cut you off is these people could barely keep the power on now, and you sort of slip into one of the questions that I wanted to ask. Does the Bahamas have the capacity to be a crypto center, to host, to manage a crypto exchange? Do we have the capacity to regulate this type of activity domiciled in our jurisdiction? But I can get to that right after this caller. Good morning, caller. You on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm fine. Before I get to my view, I registered no to your question.
Which one was that?
Which you think cryptocurrency?
Right. Do we have the capacity?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I think that we have the potential. I think that we have a good environment in terms of geography. I think we have the academic and intellectual resources.
Okay, my point.
Go on.
Oh, go ahead. Finish. Yes, let you finish.
No. You go on. I good.
Okay. You good? Okay. You're not good. First of all, I'd like to thank the Minister of Works.
I have to cut you too.
Minister of Alpha Stairs.
Yeah.
It's part of your human rights, in my human rights. You know, you believe in Human Rights Convention. They're going to provide House of Assembly for folks with disability.
They're going to do what? Provide the House of Assembly?
Make sure the House of Assembly are equipped for disabled.
Boy, look here, Pumpkin, I got to cut you.
Why?
I want to thank you for that. You can hear after I cut you.
No, but let me say why.
I'm mad at you.
No, let me say why I say that. Because I was deprived constitutionally because I couldn't run for office. I wanted to run for office.
Why you couldn't run?
Because the host is not acceptable for me.
Well, that's why I want to cut you, Pumpkin Eater. You limit your own participation in your own governance because these boy them didn't want to live up to their obligations. Did they already know they were obligated to provide for citizens like you? That's why I have to cut you because you caused me to run hard.
Let me tell you why I say that. Because I didn't want to sue the government I had to sue the government because the government violated the rights of disability convention and violated human rights convention.
Yes, they in violation right now. Listen.
Well, of course.
So we can't thank the minister. What are we thanking the minister for?
I have to thank him because he's keeping us in mind. He's making sure that nobody is discriminated in the future.
Okay.
I want to run in the future, Aaron.
I feel you.
I want to run in the future.
I appreciate what you're saying, and that's why I wanted to cut you off so I could say it without appearing as if I was chastising
you. Said, make sure we want it in place for the next election.
I got you. I got you.
Next election, me.
Okay. I got you. I know what you're saying. Caller, don't go nowhere. Come here right now. Dear Minister of Public Works, members of the disabled community, people living with disabilities, right? They would like to thank you for referencing them and letting them know that you are aware of your obligation to them. They want to work with the government. They don't want to work against the government. They want to support the government. They want to encourage the government. And they want to make sure that the government can fulfill its obligation to the disabled community and to other vulnerable Bahamians. And so they will thank you for what it is you have said and done in the House over the last few weeks, months, or days. I, a human rights advocate, though, have to remind you that these people should not be thanking you for anything, particularly since you have done nothing. You all are not taking your obligation seriously. You are not ensuring that business owners understand their obligation to this community. You're not even ensuring that your government offices, agencies, subsidiaries, and partners have made sure that the members of this community can access the services they have a right to access. It's not enough to tell me you're all overwhelmed. You knew you were in a hurricane zone before you took the job. And so while I support their decision, while I support their strategy, I'm here to tell you, you got to do better. Because these people are not a poppy show. You got to do better. Okay, let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. You on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green, Seattle Johnson.
Good morning. How you do?
Yes. Possibility and probabilities.
Mm-hmm.
That's your discussion.
Yeah.
Yes, what happened? Both of those are possibilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens is when you say the crypto industry, there's so many different dimensions.
Okay, so pause right here, right? So I want to use the language, the crypto sphere, right? Because
right.
It's not just exchanges, right? It's a whole bunch of different elements. Okay.
Right. Or let's stick with the exchange.
Yeah.
The exits, right? What happens is, first of all, we can't have an exchange regulate an exchange. So what we have to do is set rules for the establishment of exchanges in mm-hmm. the Bahamas. I think the Securities Commission is not necessarily BISIC, but what happens is it's a good opportunity for us to look at those rules so that these various, because remember, these exchanges are centralized, not decentralized as crypto industry does. What it is, these are trust facilitators. Okay.
Right, like when we talk about the trust deficit, right? Or
yeah. And so, you know, like you say, I want to buy that vehicle from Xialin in China, but I don't know him, so I need somebody to stand in between and verify that he'll actually give me what I pay for.
Uh-huh.
And then the other person says that make sure that Aaron sends what she says she will send.
Uh-huh.
Then even facilitate the currency exchange all in real time. So that's the exchange factor. Now when you go into the crypto industry, there's a lot to do with it. I know because I've worked on a number of projects, more so one for myself for the last 6 years, that I was, believe it or not, about 90 days away from going public. Now I have to pause and think concerning the noise in the market might cause people not to look at the value from the price of the fish they have. So what happens is you have the development of tokens, which has nothing to do with cryptocurrency. You have smart contracts that can facilitate. These are offshoot or integrated.
See, Alan, that's a whole lot. Here's what I would
just listen to one thing that our problem is.
But I have some questions I want to ask you, but go on.
The problem we have is electricity. This is an industry that's 98% dependent upon energy cost.
Mm-hmm.
And so around the world, you are from 2-3 pennies to 5 pennies, 5 cents, 6 cents that they go. Now imagine that I'm, say, in Florida paying $1 million a month for a light bill.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do to encourage me to come to the Bahamas to do the exact same thing except pay a $5 million phone bill? I mean, $5 million light bill. Nothing changes. Everything I do is exactly the same.
Yeah.
My light bill just goes up to $5 million from $1 million a month. Or $10 million is just 10 times.
So absolutely.
These are things that you have, and then you have the data protection laws that needs to be updated.
All right, so see, Alan, it's something that I read from you, right, over the weekend, and basically you were saying the crypto sphere, right, that
right.
cryptocurrencies are non-regulated, right?
Yes.
The crypto sphere is non-regulated, right?
Yes.
And the question I think you asked was, how do you regulate a thing that inherently, right, like it was made to be non-regulated. How do you regulate a thing like that?
That's why I say to you, for those of us that still believe in the decentralization permissionless use, right? Meaning I can deal with you, you deal with me. You have to develop a trust factor. I don't need an exchange. I can go from wallet to wallet. But for those individuals that may not have it or may even want a fractional part of it, right? You can now have an exchange established for those individuals.
So,
but they would be violating the print. I am a Bitcoin.
See, Alan, that's too much for the audience. I'm not saying you're incorrect. What I'm saying is that that's such heady information, right? Let me ask you some questions. I think may be easier to digest, right? Somebody texted and said, that you are mixing up or, you know, intermingling the Security Commission, which is a regulator, and an exchange. And so one of the questions I have for you, right, is can the Bahamian government regulate anything going on in the crypto sphere and is an exchange, a form of self-regulation in the market, separate from a regulator.
Okay, it is. And I admit that I sometimes overlap the names of the exchange and the, what do they call it?
Regulator.
The regulator, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But here, and actually, believe it or not, we could actually create a law for BSEC to actually become an exchange in the crypto space.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we have control of the data that is going to be used to authenticate the trades, everything within our jurisdictional control, so that in case something do happen, we could just cold storage the whole thing. But you said your question again?
No, don't watch nothing. Don't watch nothing, T. Allen. What are you going to do? Yeah. I'm going to have a meeting with you. I'm going to pay you to answer my questions, and then we're going to come on the radio, and we're going to make sense of what's happening. I don't really want to get into the details. My real sort of concern at this point is, does the Bahamas government and does the Bahamas as a whole, do we have the capacity to host a crypto sphere, right? To regulate crypto activity, and do Bahamians have the resources, the intellectual capacity, the academic capacity to work this space and keep this space on the cutting edge, right, of cryptosphere? Because the amount of information that has been released, that's been exposed over the last 72 hours, over the last 4 days, I wonder if a Bahamas regulatory team could keep up with the pace of the world.
And I answer yes to all of that, because we only need to basically open up for clean energy, which the carbon credit you're trying to do now with the carbon whole credit argument that we're having for the global warming. So those individuals could come in and self-generate their own power. And so, yes, I think we have the intellectual capacity, because we only need to develop a human capital regime mm-hmm. to actually support and sustain us, even if the intelligence that we initially used is not in the Bahamas.
Yeah, I got
yes,
you.
We have the ability to create the regulations to manage data and digitization, because that's what this is 100% of. So you have data, digitization, and energy. I think we do have the capability of all of those, and I think because crypto and blockchain and everything associated is so young, this is like when the internet boomed in 1992, that we have the opportunity to shape. Yes, there's going to be some people die in it, but we have to move to protect the world who do business within our jurisdiction, and at the same time cultivate and nurture humans to understand the back office of cryptocurrency as opposed to just the buying and selling.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is just hours and hours worth of discussion. In fact, I saw a thread it seemed like somebody in the U.S. government, right? They had been, like, the space had been open for 72 hours on Twitter, something like that, where people were just sharing information and talking about what's happening. And I think for us to operate in this space, it requires a cultural shift, right?
Yeah.
None of this subsistence working. You can't do subsistence work. You have to have teams working 24/7. That's why the tie-in with the roadworks and traffic discussion, it's a good tie-in, you know.
Absolutely.
Because I don't know if the labor, right, if that system is operating sufficiently to be able to achieve the goals in the designated amount of time.
Right. That's why we have to become a 24-hour economy. You know how all these places, we go to work from 9 to 5, everything in the Bahamas shuts down except for entertaining?
Yeah.
We now must shift to 24 hours a day because the digital economy never shuts down.
Absolutely.
So we could change that. And this is where this concept, I'll entertain this.
So
the digitization of the economy
mm-hmm.
is so, so very important. And we use the word innovation, which is good, and we use the word digital transformation. But the purest sense of the word digital transformation is a culture of people, not technology alone.
Right, absolutely.
And so that's where we say digital now, transformation is the transformation of the people.
Now, see, Alan, one of the reasons I was sort of pausing you is I had a whole different segment about Hurricane Nicole, right? And the impact of Hurricane Nicole. And I have a question here, like, what do we do about Grand Bahama, right? And so just before you go, particularly considering the unique the technological aspect of the cryptosphere, which is like not, you need power. You can't do this without a constant, consistent, solid supply of electricity, right? Should Grand Bahama become the crypto center of the Bahamas, right? Like, if we're going to be serious about crypto, should all crypto activity take place on Grand Bahama so we could sort of implement an energy policy specific to Grand Bahama for the purpose of cryptocurrency to ensure that we could sustain that industry? And would that be something sustainable in Grand Bahama that appears to be the hurricane hit champion of the Bahamas?
Now, you go to the head of the class, because, but again, even though it's hurricane, you know, Miami's hit with hurricane too.
Yeah.
You see all the things that they have there. It's purpose-built, resilient-type environment. Nobody's going to come to Grand Bahama and build a data center that's going to not meet. They have the data to study where to be, how to do it, how to respond. And so there's an ability to even transfer load in between different locations in a hurricane is happening. And so what happens is when you have a computer here in Grand Bahama, let's say it's going to be directly hit, you could transfer a load someplace else. But I would say that Grand Bahama will be the heart of it, right? Because you have the landmass also for power generation, wind power, solar, and the likes. But the fact is, because, again, the crypto industry is nowhere but everywhere. We're just talking about centralizing the data to develop a place of trust.
Right.
Where individuals around the world will say, you know what? They are monitoring the data. They are monitoring the code. They are monitoring all of these different things. It doesn't stop the business from happening around the world. But the minute you say that an exchange says, we come under the regulations of the Bahamas for data storage, data protection, data sovereignty, whatever, it changes the dynamics of that exchange.
Absolutely.
And that's the conversation we need.
Listen, C. Allen, I want to thank you very much. We have to do a show, because the problem is that the information that we need to digest is just so large that you can't even take small bites in the time allotted.
It changes every day.
Yeah. it changes every day. Producer, let's go to a break. And then when we come back from the break, I'm going to read the rest of these texts, and I got some more questions. I'd love for you to call in, because here are the questions. Are Bahamians inherently gullible or susceptible to scams? Do we just appreciate a good scam and want to benefit from it? Is it an innate desire to swing people? Is it cultural? Is the scam an evolution of our wrecking culture? Is it just inevitable in these islands and the geography of the planet? I got plenty more questions to ask, and I'd love to hear from you about this. Do you think our government got conked? Is somebody conking? Because if anybody doing the conking in the Bahamas, it got to be Bahamians. Anyway, when we come back from the break, we're going to delve into more of this, and I'm going to get to your text. Y'all stay tuned. You're on the clock with Aaron Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember, it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Let's get straight to these texts. Good day, Ms. Green. I try not to be negative, but every single time Sparky calls. Okay. Sparky, text is saying when you call, it's like you sound like you being negative. That's all. Be a little more positive. Because you, of all the people who have jokes in the Bahamas, it's you, Sparky. You have all the jokes. We don't have to wonder if we in the Bahamas has the capacity to handle these type of investments. We are running a country, and this is the way of the future, so it is imperative on the government, whoever is in governance, to provide the framework and regulations necessary to deal with all aspects of that type of investment. Okay, so if the government is facilitating this industry being developed and run in the Bahamas, right, then they have an obligation to create an environment, right, in which Bahamians cannot just participate in it, but it should have an advantage over foreign participants, right? The government should create a legal framework to protect those who participate in it and to govern the space, right? And then there's some other things. Like, there should be, there's a term that C. Allen uses, but it's about your human resources, your academic and your intellectual capacity. I'm sorry, caller. I miss you. Call back. I'm going to get to you. Good morning, Aaron. I think it is a total disregard by most of these organizations to the motoring public and others. There's always lack of proper and inadequate signage. 2 weeks ago, we were unable to access St. Anne's for the 10:30 service from the Eastern Road. There were cones blocking access. There were no detour signs warning persons of the obstruction ahead. Okay, texter, let's pause there. I'm going to get back to that text. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Yeah.
Are you dealing with the cloud or are you dealing with infrastructure? Because if it's in the cloud, you cannot lose anything. Because whenever you put it back up the system, if ground bomb is not resilient or whatever, once it's the cloud, it's going to automatically come back down. I have a system set up later.
I got you.
I just wanted to help with the situation. No, you can't lose it.
Absolutely. No, it's not about losing data. It's
right.
About if you're regulating an mm-hmm. industry, then you need to have your ears open. You need to have your feelers out. You should be on top of all of the information being generated in the sphere and about the sphere. The rapidity, like it, the speed. Pumpkinhead, I gotta go.
Well, quickly, 2 days.
I got another caller that just disappeared. Sorry about that. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Thank you for calling back.
Well, good morning, Aaron. I had to, you know.
I didn't think it was you, Graham. I thought it was somebody else calling back, man.
Well, I had to pause.
Want to make sure that I'm not missing first-time callers and new callers. That's all, okay?
Yeah, no problem. I had to be positive, as I always am. You know, we have enough sun, our biggest natural resource. They lied about all the others. The power, many times over this country, crypto, and any other business that would be coming.
Yeah,
but we're not,
Graham,
using it.
I don't want to talk about that because, like I say, right now we in negotiation, somebody trying to claim rights to all the sun and all the power generation over the Bahamas. That's another element, but I'm not ready to talk about that right now. That's
well,
what the problem
you,
is.
When you're ready to talk about it.
I know who to call.
Yeah, because we've been talking about it from 1994.
Absolutely.
But the sad thing is, it ain't so.
Absolutely. Graham, the things that you want to talk about right now, even the small bites are too large to digest in the time that we have in the context of the conversation that I'm trying to have. You guys have definitely shared some valuable things for the listening audience, right? Like Pumpkin Eater is saying, are we concerned about the loss of data? No, we're not concerned about the loss of data. Like I said, within 72 hours, so much information had been dumped on social media about what was happening inside FTX that information itself impacted, right, the decisions made by FTX and about FTX. And do we understand the sort of frameworks necessary, the culture necessary to be able to regulate a space like that with only 400,000 people? We brought in the element of infrastructure. Do we have the energy resources to power a crypto center in the Bahamas? These are some of the questions that we were asking. And then I had some other questions that I'm going to get to right now in this last 10 minutes. Producer, we go to that caller. First is, this is not an abnormal occurrence in the cryptocurrency realm. Why are we panicking? That's the first question. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Godly days, Doc. In a voice along with you, Aaron Crane.
Good morning, Bremen. How you do?
I'm holding. We need justice, law, and order in this country, the Bahamas. But what I want to find out from you, right? Who has the prerogative to claim portion of the sun other than God? That God give everybody a portion of, allowed everybody to use a portion of the sun. Okay, at different times of God.
Yes, yes, Bremen.
So who is that one to?
If I call their name, they may not let me access the sun without payment. That's what I'm saying.
But that shouldn't be.
Okay, Bremen, what I was referencing with that little piece of political satire is that Sir Franklin Wilson has expounded extensively on his company's plan to, if I may paraphrase, corner the solar market by providing solar energy to the government to sell to us. While we all thought that the government was going to implement a regime that allowed people to step down off of BPL and slowly move towards their own power generation in an attempt to reduce their personal expenditures, what we find out, it's possible that Sir Franklin Wilson's company is already negotiating a partnership with the Bahamas BPL, Bahamas Power and Light, and the government of the Bahamas for his company to either erect a solar field or whatever form or fashion for him to harness the power of the sun and then give it to BPL so they could give us energy versus me harnessing the power of the sun myself to provide my own energy. And that was just a little bit of political satire, Bremen. That's all that was. But it's very important because we act as if we don't understand the space itself. You cannot host a crypto center or host crypto exchanges without having solid energy supply. But we are currently in the midst of a decade-long energy crisis, right? And so this is why I ask these questions, like, are Bahamians inherently gullible? Because who, y'all worried about whether Sam scamming the world? I'm wondering who thought we could be the host of a crypto center and we cannot provide consistent, sustainable power equitably across not just New Providence, but the entire archipelago. And that's why I want to know if we like scams, because there's a text, we call upon the relevant department of BNSI, formerly Department of Statistics, to further educate and update the country and citizens of the census. Okay, here is a texter basically saying, when will we see data from the census? Now, you know they have to extrapolate, they got to look at the data and pull things from it, but we should have a timeline for when a report will be released. Another text, great show as usual. We simply gullible. Example of this, you see every election, politicians tell us anything. It got to the point they tell us if we vote for them, we will get free electricity. God. I mean, I'm trying to figure out right now who let, how is it that the guy's name, Billy McFarlane? How could he be running a treasure hunt in the Bahamas? Now, I have read that he himself is not present in the Bahamas, but he is operating a treasure hunt in the Bahamas. I just want to know how, why. And if he was bringing this boy in the country for a treasure hunt, the first thing he should have looked for is the Oban files. I bet you if we had a treasure hunt, somebody would find Oban files. Right? And so I ask the question, are we gullible? Do we like scamming people? Or do we just like a scam because we could possibly benefit from it? Because otherwise, how is it fathomable that this gentleman could be operating any type of activity? I thought we put him on the stop list. I thought he couldn't come back to the Bahamas anymore. Maybe for his own safety. You know? I wouldn't invite him. I would express to him that it may not be safe for him here because people are still dealing with the loss and grief generated from Fyre Festival. But me, I only have questions. I only have tons and tons of questions. Another text, Ms. Green. I appreciate that. Sparky say, listen, I don't call this place trying to be negative, but one thing, I don't hide behind texts. That's what Sparky say. Another text, we biting off bits and pieces of this global warming plea abroad without doing what we need to do at home to ensure we are doing all we can do to ensure we are complying and encouraging practices that will not add to the global warming dilemma. Our mangroves are being eroded. We have more derelict cars in the country than we have people. What we saying? Text, it goes further to that. If Bitcoin mining is one of the most detrimental digital activities to the environment, right? How is it that we are at COP27 demanding countries focus on their activities and impact on small countries like ours, but we are welcoming people to come into our country and potentially do a thing that is detrimental to the environment of our country? See, the key about a good scam, a good Ponzi scheme, is knowing when to get in and when to get out. And I say everything provides a learning opportunity. Whether it's negative or positive, anything, there's a potential for a learning opportunity. Let's take the drug era, for instance. Those who survived the drug era successfully are those who knew when to get in, because when you get in and how you get in determines when and how you get out. Right? And so the question is, are we gullible to scams? Or is scamming a cultural thing, an evolution of our wrecking history? A text here saying regulators doing photo ops should be reviewed as inappropriate. It should also be investigated what other regulated entities facilitated FTX in this quote unquote odd activities. Some more questions. Did the government of Nassau, you heard me correctly, did the government of Nassau invest in FTX or FTT? Because I know the government of Eleuthera, the government of Abaco, they ain't investing in this. Anyway, it's a serious question. Did the government of Nassau invest in FTX or FTT, which is the token that FTX produced? Was the government accepting or receiving payment from FTX Trading Limited, which is the main company, or its subsidiary FTX Digital Markets in FTT or other cryptocurrencies? If FTX is incorporated in Antigua and Barbuda, what is the scope of liability for the Bahamian government? What exactly are Bahamian regulators responsible for? Does the Bahamas... Well, we already get to that. Another important question. Does hosting cryptocurrency exchanges jeopardize or enhance and strengthen the financial services industry? Will us playing the crypto game, engaging in hosting exchanges, will that ultimately jeopardize our financial services industry or enhance it? And then the question we have to ask, what have Bahamians lost? Loss of employment, potential tarnishing of national reputation, losses through breaches of contract. FTX now owes Miami apparently $16.5 million for arena sponsorship cancellation. Do Bahamian employees or legal counsel bear any liability? Did Bahamians lose any money? And here's the question that interests me most. Would have, assuming, I don't even know, okay, let me pause here. This may be the appropriate application of would have. But would, assuming a greater duty of care than laid out in the DARE Act. So the DARE Act is the act that regulates the Digital Assets and Registered Exchanges Act, regulates the crypto sphere in the Bahamas. Like, it regulates who can participate and all of those things. If we had assumed a greater duty of care than laid out in the DARE Act, if we had gone beyond our legal duty of care and our legal obligations, could we have prevented the collapse of FTX? Or at the very least, the potential tarnishing of the Bahamas' name? And I think that's the question that we have to ask if we are going to host this activity here. It's the same thing that we say to all the little children when they're in school. Remember now, you're an ambassador for the tourism industry. Every Bahamian is a tourist ambassador. You have to go beyond what's expected of you to make sure that the tourist is okay. If those who had a duty of care assumed a greater duty of care than required by law, would this have happened? Producer, I come in right now. Somebody said one would have thought that the gentleman would have been placed on the stop list. I agree with your sentiments on this treasure hunt and ask myself, are we that gullible? Who is running the ship? Last text, and I'm out of here. Great show as usual, Miss Green. No, we cannot play that song. Thank you, Texter, for ending the show, at least on a laugh for me. Remember, guys, I think today is World Diabetes Day. I'm going to be reading from The Botany of Desire all week. Thank you, producer, for the extra 2 minutes. I got to go. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM is up next with Cecil Newry. You guys stay tuned. It's going to be a great day.